Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
We're talking about passion today, and passion is one of the most misunderstood or misused words because it's so easy for us to take it down to a lower chakra idea, especially after 2,000 years of moralistic Christianity. So passion becomes a sensuality or something of the lower nature. It's sinful, etc. And really, that's too bad because passion as a quality is so important. You know, in terms of nothing really of value is done without passion, without intensity and energy and vigor and enthusiasm. Yeah. So let's get the worst out of the way first, and I want to read from Galatians. This is where it all started to go wrong, because I don't believe there is a duality in truth, right? We're all one, aren't we? Everything is connected, yes? There is a commonality to all things. And yet once we sort of label one thing good and the other thing bad, then it leads to demonizing the bad thing. And this is where the flesh or the passions have got a bad rap, because we've sort of uplifted spiritual things as being holy and everything and sacred. But the passions are kind of lowly. And so here we go. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 25, St. Paul at his best. What I mean is this: be guided by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your unspiritual nature, whatever that is. That nature sets its desires against the Spirit, while the Spirit fights against it. They are in conflict with each other so that you cannot do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to law. Anyone can see the behavior that belongs to the unspiritual nature. Here we go. Here's the list: fornication, indecency and debauchery, idolatry and sorcery, quarrels, a contentious temper, envy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, party intrigues and jealousies, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that no one who behaves like that will ever inherit the kingdom of God. But the harvest of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fidelity, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the old nature with its passions and desires. If the Spirit is the source of our life, let the Spirit also direct its course. Now, I see what he's saying. There's certain validity to it, isn't there? In the sense that, yeah, I love those qualities, the fruits of the Spirit. But in so doing, we have demonized everything else, right? We have labeled it all as bad. And I think it's not so much the things themselves are bad, it's the extremes that we go to get involved with the things of passion of the flesh, right? So unfortunately, we've thrown out at the proverbial baby with the bathwater here, yeah? And so there's got to be a higher way of understanding the interrelation of things, that there's nothing wrong with partying, for instance. There's nothing wrong with good fellowship, right? But if we're going to extremes about it, then maybe we're living not so skillfully. And I like that word rather than right or wrong. Is it a skillful or unskillful behavior at any given time, right? Because if you believe that everything is a continuum of understanding, you cannot label some things as necessarily completely wrong and other things as completely right. We are here to enjoy life, aren't we? We're here to have a good time. It doesn't need to be labeled good or evil, does it? Skillful or unskillful? See, if I drink to excess and I'm throwing a tantrum and I'm destroying things, skillful or unskillful? Obviously, unskillful behavior, isn't it? But if I'm enjoying myself in a social context, that's okay, right? If I go to extremes with spirit and I am holier than now, I have reached the pinnacle and now I am going to teach you how to live the right way. Right? And I'm so spiritual that I can do this because I'm above and over and above anything you may understand. So it's okay for me to tell you what to do. Skillful or unskillful? Unskillful. Even at that level of spirit, there can still be unskillful means, right? It's not about everything up in the spirit is correct, everything to do with the flesh is wrong. No, it's a continuity of understanding here, and I apply skillful or unskillful means. Ken Wilber, the great seminal philosopher, he wrote this, and I like it. He says, men and women, as the Christian mystics are fond of saying, have at least three eyes of knowing. At least three eyes of knowing. The eye of flesh, which apprehends physical events. The eye of mind, which apprehends images and desires and concepts and ideas. And the eye of contemplation, which apprehends spiritual experiences and states. And that, of course, is a simplified version of the spectrum of consciousness reaching from body to mind to spirit. In other words, these eyes of knowing, these eyes of seeing are very valid, aren't they? I need a healthy body to move around in, yeah? But I'm not overwhelmed by my body. If I'm overwhelmed by it and all I can think about is my body, unskillful means. I need a fine intellect to help me negotiate through my life. But if I'm all in my head, I've missed the point, yeah? I have a wonderful spirit. We have wonderful spirits of infinite possibility, but they have to be made practical in our everyday life. So we're moving in all these dimensions at once. But the commonality here is the passion that we bring to each level, right? Is anything achieved if you're not passionate about it? Have you ever done anything of value in your life by being ho-hum about it? Probably not, right? Did it just get put in your lap out of nowhere? And if it did it disappear just as quick as it came? Usually, because those things that come without passion and intensity and vigor and enthusiasm, we don't value much anyway, or we treat them without really too much regard, and they come and they go, right? You hear about the two guys that climbed El Capitan, and in Yosemite, and they said it was impossible, right? Because they climbed it free, right? Free climbing. And they spent, months, years getting ready for this. And the man that originated the concept of doing it, the possibility of doing it, became so focused and intensely passionate about doing it that that's all he could think about for the last 10 years, I believe, right? So that's the kind of energy that we're talking about, giving to something we want to achieve. Now, I don't know if I want to do it. I certainly don't want to spend all 10 years getting ready to climb El Capitan. What about you? And I definitely don't want to hang out on one of those flimsy beds all night. It's just a different kind of mindset, isn't it, that does that. And there they are, reading books, sipping wine. You know, everything's great. I'm on my little raft. 7,000 feet up. Crazy to me, but I can admire the intensity, the passion that enabled. My wife Wendy said, I'd be fine sleeping on one of those pallets. But she said, I'm not sure I can get up there in the first place. But I couldn't, no, I'm not sleeping up there with you, baby. It's not going to happen. No, yeah. I got passion in other areas, but not there. Don't look down. Here's another example of passion, Alan Turing. You know, has anybody seen the movie, The Imitation Game? Wonderful movie, isn't it? But, you know, his passion was for breaking that Enigma code. And, of course, he was the founder of the first computer, supposedly. A genius, but also extremely focused, right? Extremely passionate about what he wanted to do. And as a result, remarkable things happened. Now, what about you? What's happening that you have felt good about that you've applied passion to? Tell me, give me an example. Your music, okay. And that can inspire you too, can't it? That passion that you have for music inspires you in all other areas of your life, right? Because it's a continuum. It's not separate. That way in is the way in for all levels. It can be spiritually satisfying. It feels good physically. And it's emotionally satisfying as well. Yeah. So music. Say again? All right. How does that work? Without going into details, I don't mean, don't tell me all about your business, but I mean. Right. So you're excited about it because you feel it's meaningful, right? So you can put passion towards it. And it's connection. All right. So a big part of getting passionate is making connections, isn't it? Seeing that we're all one. I am being of value. I'm not just unskillfully passionate for my own aims. I am skillfully passionate because that passion contributes to the greater well-being. Talking about Martin Luther King Jr., there's that same idea. I love that. What was it? Passionate concern was the phrase. And he was. And he had all kinds of weaknesses. He wasn't a perfect man, but he had passionate concern in that direction, and he pushed things forward with that intensity. It doesn't matter which level it's at, I don't believe. As long as you have the passion, you can take it, even if it's at a physical level, it becomes something greater once you have the enthusiasm. Take my dog as an example, our dog. My dog gets excited about food, right? Because he's very into the body, you know. And as soon as we wake up in the morning and he realizes that food is coming, he does a dance. And he'll get up on his hind legs and dance all around the bedroom because he wants the food. He knows it's coming. And then once I put my clothes on, he gets even more excited because it's getting closer, it's getting closer. And then he'll rush down the hallway down to where we feed him. And just right outside the door when I feed him, he'll do another dance. So he's on his hind legs again. There's enthusiasm. He's inspiring, right? It doesn't matter how much I wake up thinking, oh, God, another day. After he's done his dilly dance, I got to be excited myself. And I think, man, he's giving full commitment to those little nuggets that he's about to eat. And he's so grateful. He's drooling. You know, he's drooling with expectancy and joy because he's filled with that energy and enthusiasm. That's the passion we're talking about. Now, see, if we can get as passionate as a dog can about its food in the morning. And, of course, he's really good about pretending he never got fed. So if another person comes along, you know this one, he's got a belly full of food, but he's doing the dance again. You'd think he hadn't been fed. Sometimes he gets double rations just because he's acting so well. Imagine if we could have that same kind of dance and energy and enthusiasm. See, what does it do? It impels us to another level of being. That's the important thing. That's the importance of passion. Passion should not just be left to unskillful means, you know, abusing ourselves. Passion is that God-given quality that brings us up into a greater awareness of what's possible for us. And we have to find that which does it for us, you know, because not everything's going to inspire that level of passion, right? So if it's music, wonderful. We were talking at 9:30 about Larissa's music, you know, and the amazing quality of music that she brings to our church. And we acknowledge that her passion is also married to her discipline. So she wasn't just disciplined in practicing in the conservatory, but she continues to practice to this day, right? Because that's part of the ongoing putting your passion into action. What do they say? You sell the steak by the sizzle, right? The old Zig Ziglar, you sell the sizzle, not the steak. But after having sizzled, you still want to eat your steak, right? So it's not just about the sizzle. The sizzle gets us there, gets us in the mood, yeah, I want it. But then we have to do the work, yes, the passionate concern that I'm willing to live from that passionate energy. I'm willing to eat the steak. I'm willing to do what it takes to appropriate my good, right? To live from that context. So I want to give you five ways to be passionate, to remain passionate in life. And it sort of turns the tables on forgetfulness. So the first one is to remember our true purpose, because so often we're taken up with all the details of our lives. What happened since 2015 happened? Has it been all plain sailing? Have you been distracted at all? You haven't, have you? It's all been just go ahead. I wrote my word on my stone. I released on Burning Bowl. Now everything's peachy keen. Not. Right? There's a million things that get in the way. You know, I started off feeling great, then I got a cold. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to get a cold. That's sidetracking me from my work. Then all the other details of life. We got to fix a roof. Oh, great. So there's always a million things to take care of, isn't there, that can distract us, getting caught up with details. What's distracting you right now? What's the thing that's getting in on your, you're getting your goat the most? Work? Children? Everything. There we go. Okay. You know, everything can get in the way if we allow it to, right? Those are the distractions. But the thing is, remember your true purpose. Remember the big picture. That's what I try and do as much as I can, is what's really going on here? Do I really have to nitpick that one? Do I really have to think that I have to defend that particular thing? Is it true? Ask yourself this. Is it true? Is it loving? And is it necessary? And if it's not true, loving, or necessary, just don't do it. Is it true that I have to pick on you right now? No, it's not. You know, I don't have to. It's just a choice. Is it a loving thing to do? Probably not. Is it necessary? Well, to my ego, but not to my truth. So if I remember what's really the large picture here, then I have more energy to move, more passion, more enthusiasm to move into the larger things that my life is about. Yeah? Is it true? Is it loving? Is it necessary to be that small? Or can I be a larger, more magnanimous person? What happens when we are? What happens when you do choose the higher path? It feels better, number one, and it comes back to you. But it feels better, doesn't it? It does for me. It feels freeing. I don't have to hold on to all this stuff. I don't have to keep score anymore. Wouldn't it be lovely? I don't have to keep score. We all won. This game's over. Yeah. So that's number one. Number two, and it follows on. If we remember our true purpose, we begin to remember who we are, right? Who are we? We are not just lowly beings. We are not limited in any way. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. We are infinite possibility and intelligence, right? That dog of mine exhibits that. He's not just a dog when he's dancing. He is a beautiful ballet of joy. And it's inspiring, right? So we become more than we could even imagine when we allow that enthusiasm to come out in us. That's who we are. We are infinite possibility. Imagine, my wife said the other day, imagine if we could just see all the light that we truly are on any given day and let it express. We would fill this space with our light and our intensity. We would fuel a whole city with electricity that comes directly off us, because that's who we are, right? So why are we keeping it hidden? Why are we keeping our light under that bushel when we can express it, yeah? Feels good to express it, doesn't it? Yeah, makes you want to go like that, you know. We are the light of the world. Number three, use the particular to springboard you into the universal, right? Because you have to use what you get excited about, not what somebody else gets excited about. That's not going to work. You can't live vicariously through someone else. And we do a lot of that, you know. We turn the television on hoping that they're going to inspire us. Well, why should they? You know, why is that their business? I got to inspire me. I got to find the things that are mine, that give me that fired up consciousness. And we mentioned some of the things that it might be. It might be music. What else might it be? Grandparenting, nothing like it, is there? I love that, because you can walk away at the end of the day. That's the beautiful thing about that. No, but it is a joy, yes, absolutely. That's a way in. What else? Gardening, educating. That's broad, you know, specific thing. Okay, doing it in a selfless way, all right? For me, it's nature. You know, I was, my wife and I went to Warren McDonald's celebration at St. Francis Village yesterday. I don't know if you know Warren. He recently passed on from our community, lovely guy, and joined the church just about 6 months ago. He'd always been a member here in spirit, but he wanted to be a real member in a sign on the dotted line. He became a member, passed on, lovely guy, full of love. And he didn't want a service, so they prevailed at St. Francis, because that's where he lived, to have something at least. So it was a gathering, and we sat down, and we talked a little bit about him, but nobody got up and shared. And what was beautiful about that was, it wasn't like somebody telling us about him. We were all there because we knew him in some way, and there was that quiet communing in his honor. And that was beautiful, you know. That was a doorway in for me to the larger, that we all wanted to be there to honor this guy. And we didn't necessarily have to say anything, because we were who we were in that for that hour was larger than just any words that might be said. I think that's powerful too, just to be with each other, you know, to be in communion, just to gather like we are is powerful, right? That could be a doorway into this passionate way of living. But afterwards, we went down to the lake and to Benbrook, and I was amazed at all the woods that are there. And my wife and I were inspired by the light yesterday, and we talked about it pretty much for the rest of the day, didn't we? And it was like, yeah, this is cool. You don't have to go to Yosemite. You don't have to go to Yellowstone to experience beauty, you know? Let's hear it. Tarrant County is beautiful. You know? There's beauty here. There's fossils on the beach, on Benbrook Beach. There's beautiful trees. There's deer running around. There's the light on the water. There's beautiful things. There's unspoiled, undeveloped land still. Whoa. So we have to look under our noses and find the beauty that's all around. Yes, that can be a way in too. That's three. Use the particular to jettison you to the universal. Number four, realize in truth, as we said earlier, there are no boundaries, are there? When you go in up in a plane, you can't see where Canada starts and America ends, can you? You can't see where Texas ends and New Mexico starts. It's all on a map somewhere, but it's not in reality, right? And it's the same with us. There are no boundaries between you and me, really. We share the same commonality. We're sharing the same molecules of oxygen right now, yeah? We're connected deeply. And in the same way, there's no difference between our flesh and our spirit. It's one continuity, yeah? And so there's good in everything, isn't there? I can't say, oh, that part of me is evil, whereas this part of me is nice. No, it's me. And I'm learning to live how? Skillfully. Here's Ken Wilber again. He says this. He said, the ultimate metaphysical secret. That's a big statement. The ultimate metaphysical secret, if you dare state it so simply, is that there are no boundaries in the universe. Boundaries are illusions, products not of reality, but of the way we map and edit reality. And while it is fine to map out the territory because it helps us live, it is fatal to confuse the two. Right? So these boundaries that we create are provisional, aren't they? They are not written in stone, right? We are one with each other. It doesn't matter who we are when we show up here, does it? Whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're straight or whether you're gay, whether you're black or white or shades of gray like I am today. I am 50 shades of gray, folks. It's all okay, right? That's the message, isn't it? And that's the message of unity, our oneness, our connectedness. Now, those are the first four. What were they again? Remember the big picture. Remember who you are in truth. Look to the particular to get through to the universal, right? Use that as a portal. What excites you? Four, there's no boundaries in truth. We create the boundaries. There are no boundaries in truth. And finally, if you can apply those things, if that's real for you, then something happens to passion. It comes with something. It comes with compassion. it's added to that. And compassion is our feeling for others, our suffering alongside, our sense of we're in this together, right? It develops naturally from our willingness to be a passionate, involved people in our lives. When we do that, we notice, wow, everything that I'm going through, you're going through too. We're all one, right? The differences are negligible to compared to what's really happening for each other. And so we develop this wonderful sense of compassion. And then we're really cooking, because then we can do things we couldn't have imagined before, right? We become vehicles of powers that are limitless, basically. So if there's anything we're going to remember from this talk today, what's it going to be? Just sum it up. What are you going to take one thing from this? We're all connected. That's a good one. Remember that. What? Passion leads to compassion when we release that imprisoned splendor of possibility. Excellent. Oh, beautiful. Say that again so we can hear it all. True passion stays the course. Right. When it's connected. When it originates. When it originates, when we remember who we are, right? When we remember the truth of our being. And then you're willing to do anything. When you know who you are. Right? When it's a nice idea or it's coming from our ego, it doesn't last. But when it comes from that place, yeah. And we know the difference, folks. We know the difference between when we're living from that truth, which is expansive and endlessly giving, and when we're coming from conditionality, yeah. When we're coming from, oh, I want it a certain way because it's going to help my ego. None of that matters when you're coming from the true passion of the heart. Then we become free, actually, to do remarkable things. So may we all do those remarkable things in 2015. Amen. So it is.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you. Divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.